Good morning, everyone, if it is morning for you. Here it's a little bit more reasonable time in Finland. I right at the very beginning, I'll ask you to keep your mute on. And for the moment anyway, please keep your video off. This morning we are meditating on the new moon in Pisces. And I want to keep it very simple. I also want to ask you to have handy something to write on, a pen, paper, however you write, so that we can keep as part of this ongoing meditation, a record of what you determine as a result of this type of meditation form we are going to use. I'm very happy to see you all here. You know, a lot of you from Europe and the South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, and I realize it's really the wee hours of the morning for many in the United States, so I know you're making a sacrifice to forego peace, to forfeit rest, as they say in the disciples' aspirational mantra. I want to point out here, and I think you can see the chart. Of course, this chart is drawn up for here in Finland, so the rising sign will be different. But that's not so important as to notice this cluster of planets, four of them within 4 degrees of each other. Not only do we have the new moon in Pisces, occurring at 10, 20, and 59 seconds, so basically 10, 21 GMT, not only have we the new moon in Pisces, but we have this beautiful conjunction of Venus and Neptune. These, if you really want an example of what Buddhimanas is, or the mind infused by the intuition, and an access to rare divine beauty, then you would look for Neptune and Venus together in such a form. And here, of course, in Finland, it's on the midheaven, so it's even more important. At the same time, Pluto is there strongly over here, and Saturn and so forth. So let's just say that this is a time for deep cleansing so that the beauty can come through. Now, if you look at the chart of Johann Sebastian Bach, he had all of that, Venus, Neptune, the moon, and one more planet, Mercury, all together in Pisces at the very top of his chart. And he was a great, excuse me, medium. He was a medium for some of the most divine music which has ever been created by modern man. Okay. So just to say that we have the opportunity now to be in the higher sense of the word, mediumistically responsive to these high, subtle vibrations of the good, and especially the beautiful and the true. Excuse me. Let me just do one little piece of housekeeping if I can. I've done that. Now, I really want to keep these full moons, or rather new moons, are so shambolic in a certain sense. Now, we do have a study group and a meditation group on Shambhala, and some of you have been there, and we're, you know, God willing, we'll just go on with it for years, because DK asked whether we couldn't gather a group that would really study the will and study Shambhala. And you are familiar with the high beings that are found in Shambhala, the seven spirits before the throne, and the Buddhas of activity, and the esoteric Kumaras, and the representatives of, from Venus and from other planets, and the 49 fires of fire by friction, and the 49 ray potencies, and the 49 spirits of darkness. You know, these are words, and the overall impression is that there is a tremendous concentration of energy in the focal home of Sanat Kumara on the higher levels of the logoic plane. Now, at this time, we're trying to come into some degree of rapport with that very high source. And of course, you know, basically our degree of rapport is very attenuated, okay? Very attenuated. But nevertheless, we will respond. Now, maybe you know the story that, and I'm going to try to go over here and take a look at the Earth scheme. The moon is usually considered to have a thought form effect and to be in the way, but somehow it really does represent the personality vehicles as a whole. And when it comes into direct alignment with the Earth and with the Sun, the power of the Sun, of the solar logos, wears away and gradually destroys the obstructive power of the moon, so that it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, not so that we can notice it, but by the time the seventh round, and I think that's why I turned here, it's kind of a seventh scheme round, and we're in number four at the moment. By the time the seventh round occurs, the moon will have been reduced to negligibility. It will have disappeared. It will have disintegrated. And no longer will we be subject to the veils, the veiling effect of the moon, which stops us from receiving the pure energies of those planets which the moon veils, namely Vulcan, Neptune, and Uranus. So we get the idea that the solar logos, which in a way is the inspiration of Shambhala, is wearing the moon away. Every time it makes an impact on the moon, it plants a seed. That's the main theme of all these meditations, the planting of the seed, which gradually wears the obstructive influence of the moon away as that seed is carried into our lives, and both individually and in terms of the soul and consciousness of humanity. And that will always be our main focus. Now, for the details of what's going on in Shambhala, you know, all 729 references that the Tibetan has made to Shambhala alone, forget the divine will, you know, tune in on the Shambhala presentation. Make sure you turn your mute off, everybody. Keep your mute on, okay? Unless Tuya, you had something that you wanted to say here, you're welcome to do that, because Tuya and I are always presenting these things together, you know.
No, I don't have anything. Thank you.
Okay. So our purpose every month is to plant especially two seeds, maybe three. But of course, you know, being human as we are, it's so easy, and busy as we are, it's so easy to forget what we did. So that by the time the next new moon comes around, you know, you say to yourself, well, what did I do? You know, what did I even plant through solar impact into the lunar vehicles so that they would become more and more transparent to the soul itself and more negligible as obstructive forces. That's why I want you to have your pen and your paper, or if you do it on the computer, that's okay. Whatever you do it, but keep it until our next new moon meeting, which is really going to be occurring just before the conference, virtual conference next month. Okay, well, that's really all I want to explain. The moon is in the way for a lot of people. And when you have an eclipse, it can be powerful for negativity, or perhaps very powerful for good. So we want to treat these moments, even the ones that are not eclipses, even the ones that are not solar eclipses, we want to treat them with respect every month so we can build and attenuate the lunar obstructive form. So remember at 10, 20, and 59 seconds, or 10:21. We'll do a lot of silence in this meditation. I know it doesn't sound like it for me right now, but we will. And go as deeply as we can. So, I really think that's about it until we get in. Okay. So we'll get into our meditation right away. And we're approaching as a group, which is really the only way we're going to even get a glimmer of what is this impressive energy of divine will coming from Shambhala. We don't waltz into the door of Shambhala on our own. Even masters can't do that. And we realize, or try to realize, the amazing fact that our little planet and its planetary logos are the is, our planet is the base of the spine center of our solar logos, an extension somehow of our solar logos. It is the base of the spine chakra, with all of the tremendous heat and kundalini implications that that carries. So it's not easy on our planet. It has a Ray 1 monad, still occultly ineffective until it becomes a sacred planet, but nevertheless underlying it all is that tremendous Ray 1 at the base of the spine. And we can really tune in on the will at this time, just the way when we go to the full moon, the major gain for all the meditators is in the enhancement of consciousness. So will being at this time, and consciousness particularly at the full moon. And so let's make sure that we are strong enough through purification to receive what might come. As the white light, the purifying light, is visualized as sweeping through the physical body and the physical body of the group, and of all world servers. And sweeping through the etheric body. From the visualized soul point, and so necessarily sweeping through the astral body, somewhere DK tells us that the monad is like a burning glass, you know, one of those enlarging implements with which you can focus the sun's rays and start a fire. Burning all the dross that's in the way and sweeping through the lower mind. Burning away illusions. And sweeping through the entire personality, which is rendered receptive to the soul triadal and monadic energies. Until we become more and more filled with the Christ energy, the Buddhic energy, and as a group, and with the servers of the world, we are on our way to Christ in you, the hope of glory, the glorification of the third degree, when at last the monad really begins to take over. Now we've gone through a little imaginative purification. And we have a deep sense together of not only being within the soul field, but and responsive to the downpouring of the soul, but also as if we are really imaginatively within the group causal body, and are beginning to receive the impress of the will. So we feel ourselves merged together in the soul field. And merged in soul with the men and women of goodwill, who are deeply familiar to us, even though we don't know them personally, and with the world servers everywhere, in the new group of world servers, and there's something in us that reaches out and makes us one, not only with the world servers, but finally with all souls within the one soul of humanity. And we realize then, and we try to feel it, because of the Christ-like love, naught is but me. Doesn't make any difference who the individual is, good or bad. On a deep level, this identification occurs. And the soul energies are gathered around the mental unit. The multicolored antikarana rises towards the triad, colored by indigo for the group work here. And we use a word of power to reach as high in a point of tension as we can, the second ray word of power. I see the greatest light, inwardly pronounced as we sound the Om. Pronounce it with your mind and sing the Om outwardly. That greatest light, use the light of Shambhala, the light of Sanat Kumara, the light of the divine will, the light of life itself. Pouring down and meeting our united group projection. Now, many are the ways that we have to improve as individuals and within our groups and within humanity as a whole. If we are to be guided, our little wills be guided by divine purpose. So I want to work with three implantations. Three impressions, and that you should make note of what you decide will be your implantation. Because it will be part of the divine plan for yourself, for your, let's say, the major group you're working with, and for humanity as a whole. We could do more, but let's just keep it there. The first thing is to think of yourself individually. Of course, you're a member of a group and you're a member of humanity, but focus for a moment, as we do in Meditation 4, in Dina 2, Discipleship 2, about what is your role in the divine plan, really. And for this month, whether you plant a seed which is new, or you plant an ongoing seed that constantly needs work in your own individual life. We will enter the silence, and you will imagine that from the great solar orb to the moon, which means microcosmically, from your higher principles into your personality, you plant a quality, a seed of a quality, which you want to see flourish and come to some kind of fruition during the month ahead, perhaps realized objectively more at the full moon. So let's enter the silence on that, and you decide what seed will be planted by you individually for cultivation this particular month until the Aries new moon, which is the equinox. So we will quietly ponder and then drop the seed in. And as you drop the seed, you might even projectively look ahead at what you expect it can become. It's an imaginative exercise. So make clear and definite note of the seed which you imaginatively have planted within your microcosm. That is, within your soul-infusing personality, because this seed comes from a very high source within you. Make careful note And let's not forget it, because next time we will evaluate what has been the progress and the process. Now, turn to the, let's say, the group of the new group of World Service. You can do this, of course, on your own for your own specific groups. However, turn towards the new group of World Servers that we actually seek to be members of. It's not so easy. It's easier to be a man or woman of goodwill who works a little here and there. But the new group of World Servers members can even include initiates of the fourth degree, and they work with persistence at ameliorating and uplifting the human condition. Now, visualize them as brighter lights all over the world. And think about what they need. At this time of instability in human consciousness, and plant a seed for them, which they can receive and benefit from. What would it be in your estimation? It doesn't make any difference. We'll have different estimations. What do you want to plant on behalf of the new group of World Servers? Realizing that you yourself will have to be part of what you plant for the new group of World Servers. If you want to truly be a World Server, and now, most importantly, and just about 9 or 10 minutes ahead of the new moon, we think about all of humanity, in the body, out of the body, essentially one human consciousness, essentially one human being. We are a being, a kingdom on this planet, part of the kingdom of humanity all through the solar system, and we human beings everywhere, if we can embrace the idea, we have a crisis. We are in the time foreseen when, as Paul said, the whole of creation groaneth and travaileth, awaiting the arrival of the sons of God. Now, we'll take this implantation right up to the moment of the new moon, at which time I will sound the Om, so you'll know. It may be a little delayed where you receive it, a few seconds, but I'll sound the Om at 10, 20, and 59 seconds. And if you have an accurate watch or clock, you can start sounding then, if you wish. What seed for this next month, whether only for this next month or ongoingly, you can decide later. What seed will you plant for development within the substance of humanity as a whole? We'll have silence until the moment of the new moon, and you can work on that implantation, the why and the wherefore and the expectation. What seed would you plant for all of humanity? now, like a good gardener, these seeds will need your attentive thought on various occasions during the month. We can't just forget about what we've done. As they rise to fruition and show themselves in flourishing, and then themselves are distributed and go to seed, ready for a new implantation, our attention is there. So maybe reserve a place on your computer month by month where you see and can remember what you have implanted. Not only will the personality of the individual and of the new group of world servers, or your groups, or of humanity as a whole, become more soul-infused through your efforts, but you will be, in some small measure, building up the causal body of each one of these entities, whether it's your individual self, your major group, your nation, your membership in the new group of world servers and the servers as a group, or whether it's all of humanity, the causal body will grow because you have been implanting the seed and tending to it. We've done 3 implantations at the moment, but others are possible. And this is the utter simplicity of what we do at the time of the new moon in this meditative work. Tonight we will have work on climate change at 6 p.m. GMT, and then David Hopper at 8 p.m. GMT will, I think, have his last presentation on the journey of the soul. So all of that will be on the weekly schedule, the new revised weekly schedule that applies to this time. And then tomorrow we will have our EUN Esoteric United Nations meeting. And we will also, I believe, have the attracting of financial resources for hierarchical purposes. And what I see here is that the journey of the soul, yes, tonight here in Europe, 8 p.m. GMT, and then at 6 p.m. GMT, attracting financial resources, and then David Hopper at 7:30, the Esoteric United Nations at 7:30. And David Hopper is today at 8 p.m. So we offer you as much as we possibly can for your absorption at a time that is critical for the welfare of humanity. Let's intensify our efforts constantly toward the great conclave of 2025. And we will close this meditation and reflection with the sounding of the third of the great invocations, which was given out when the Christ agreed to reappear in material form before the eyes of all human beings. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you, everyone. We'll be seeing you dwell on what you've done at various points today. We're in that new moon energy, which the hierarchy itself always uses. The full cycle, they use the full cycle. Let us begin to also use the full cycle. And make note, as I say, of what you have arrived at so that it exists when next we visit. Feed the seed and keep track of the results. With love and many blessings from Tuya and myself and from all the friends and of the Moria Federation and USR and SRI and Blue Rose and, you know, the many groups, and from the communications group, we thank you for your participation, and we look forward to working with you a little bit later today, still here in Europe. Hope it'll be a reasonable time for you. And many blessings.